Welcome to the Closer and Closer podcast, a podcast about expanding your creative capacity. Each week, we interview inspiring creatives to help you grow your freelance career. All right, let's get into the episode. Welcome to the Closer and Closer podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Andrea Mejia Matriz, and I am a part of the artist marketing and partnerships team here at CNC. And, you know, as always, I have Mr. Dave Arcade here with me.
Thanks, Andrea. I'm Dave Arcade, an illustrator on the Closer and Closer roster, but enough about me because it's my pleasure to introduce this week's guest. He is a designer turned illustrator with a love for vector illustration and digital image making. His clients include Avon, The Telegraph, Which Magazine, Airbnb, O2, and many others. From Manchester, UK, it is my pleasure to introduce Andrew Nye. How you doing, man? The science guy. Andrew Nye, right? That's what you go by, right?
That's what I mean. Well, I'm speaking to Americans now, so you actually get that. I've been aware of Bill Nye, and like I try and tell people over here, and they don't know.
They're just like, Oh, really?
Who's that?
Yeah, people in the UK don't know who that is.
The science guy, right?
Yeah, the science guy raised me.
I don't know much about him. Yeah, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, you know.
It's a bad thing for him because he likes to get on his high horse often. Like, well, science, it's like, listen, Bill, we'll listen to the freaking actual scientist and not the guy who are teaching kids how to make volcanoes out of baking soda.
That's so funny. Also, seeing the different perspectives because, like, since I literally, like, my whole science class, I think every single science class I ever took, I watched at least like one episode of Bill Nye. I love the guy.
Really?
He's an icon of my childhood.
So he's like sort of...
Not for me, but...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he raised me. Anyways, you are not the science guy. You are the illustration guy.
Oh, he's a science guy, if you see his art.
True. That is true.
In a way, maybe.
There's a science that goes into what Andrew does that is baffling.
That is very true. Oh.
Thank you. Yeah. I think that's a good thing, yeah.
He'll get into it. He has plenty of gushing coming up over your work.
That's great.
Exciting. Well, I would say plenty. Don't set the expectations too high, because if it's not enough, he's going to be like, Dave, where was all the gushing? Like, after we get
You're
off.
You're so right. We've got mild gushing.
True. Yeah. We'll wait and see.
Yeah. But before we get to that, into Dave's diatribe, I realized while I was writing my questions that I've never actually like chatted with you about your origin story or like how you got to where you are. You tell us a little bit about that and just like where your relationship with creativity started, how you got to freelancing full time like you do now?
I would say like it's probably a very like organic process. I was younger, I did illustration, but like I was focused on music for a very long time.
Oh, really?
And I was
Are you a drummer?
Oh, yes, I am. He's just in the corner of my screen. You can see a bass drum.
Yeah, you got a pearl bass drum there, man.
Yeah. I hasn't been using about 10 years, maybe more. but I like to pretend I use it. I wanted to be a drummer, yeah. But then, you know, you get older and sort of realize, that's a really difficult dream, that. I always wanted to, you know, be involved in the art world in some way. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really know exactly what I liked or where I was going with it, what I was going to do. And like, I think it's quite common for most people is to like sort of end up in a sort of design course or like a graphic design course because it's sort of a commercial, more safe kind of commercial route.
Yeah.
And you get to kind of, you know, enjoy your job.
Yeah.
Which is a big part of my decision, to be honest, to be in design. But then, you know, I'd always like throughout my process, like going into like college and university, you know, I always had a sort of illustrative skew to everything I was working on. Mm. So, you know, there was always like, if I was doing a branding project, there was always sort of some sort of illustration elements involved, mm-hmm. as part of the brand. And that kind of, that went all through to like when I went into work, and when I was in London, I got hired on the basis of I also liked illustration, really. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, the boss there is a really lovely guy. He's a creative director at the time, and he was looking for people, designers who had like a different interest.
Yeah. So
like, they were kind of, they were focused on design, and this is in branding as well. So he was a branding creative director, but like he was looking for like people in his team that would be able to bring something different to the team, basically. Yeah. And yeah,
that's really interesting. That, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that really, I got really lucky, I think, with that, because I'm not sure I would have got in with my design.
Was this a design studio? Like, kind of like a design shop, or?
It was, yeah, it was Interbrand London, so it was like a big branding agency, but it was very sort of corporate focused. Lots of big brands. I mean, there'd be lots of companies that you never heard of, and you'd be like, who are these people? But then you'd find out that they owned companies that you knew.
Totally.
Yeah. Sort of holding companies and stuff like that. So it was a lot of that. But it was a really interesting process, and like, and the creative director and well, the whole team I worked with were really like really amazing designers, and it's all very like deer in headlights when you start, like, just, you know, taking in like so many talented people around you, and
yeah,
you're just kind of like, I need to kind of try and match this. I'm not sure how I do that, but
yeah,
it helps you elevate. Yeah, it brings your game to their level, though. It's
that's it. Yeah, really, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That gave me. Yeah, that definitely. I would say shapes a lot of what I do in illustration as well. Is what I learned through like branding, because like there's all sorts of. I think there's about a lot like in creativity, like there's doing it as a career, and you're given all these sort of attributes and things like time and like deadlines and stuff,
yeah,
that stuff that's all business orientated that is like, is not really natural to like creativity.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of look around and like, sort of you learn, you see how people, it's quite interesting, like watching people and seeing how people learn to deal with the fact you have like these pressures on you, and how people go about it. And it was a really great experience.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, go for it.
Yeah, that's you and I have like a similar origin story. I went to design school, and then I liked illustration more, but I didn't get snatched up by a design studio. I got snatched up by an advertising agency, and guess how much illustration happens as an art director for an advertising agency? Zero.
But, do you outsource it? Or?
Yeah, that's where you start to hire illustrators. Yeah. Well, at the time I was like, it was twice what I was making, and we're having a baby, and I had to hit a certain number for my wife to be able to stay home to raise, which is what she wanted to do. And they hit that number. And so I was like, I don't care what I'm doing. But like 10 years in, I was like,
maybe really? I care.
That's almost exactly the same then. Like really, I mean, so after 10 years, in advertising, you kind of,
I started Dave Arcade. It's kind of a sad story. Like I was doing a lot of I always say at the top of the podcast enough about me. Let's introduce today's guest or this week's guest. And here I am talking about me. But the cliff notes is I was doing so much illustration for the agency that I was working for, because there was a design arm to this agency. So the creative director would always like go over the heads of my creative directors. He basically owned the place, but still he didn't follow protocol. And he'd be like, Dave, like let's, and of course I was like, hell yeah. And I was an associate creative director at the time. So it was really irresponsible of me. It was like a dad who had kids, and like his buddies like knock on the window at like 11 to go drinking. And he's like, sure, let's do it. And so I would do all these illustration projects for him. And a lot of them were murals for Nickelodeon. And so eventually they're like, dude, like we got to let you go like this. And I was like, yeah, I know. Like, and I took all that work and turned it into an illustration career.
That's amazing. Yeah. And also, like, having that opportunity to work for, like, Nickelodeon as well. Like, you know, taking advantage of your, like, situation. And that's, like, yeah, that's super useful. And, you know, when you're, like, I don't know about you, but, like, going to a portfolio interview with actual real clients. I thought was like really useful.
Because
I did go and see like a couple of agencies before I went and made the leap, even though I didn't really have much set up. But I did go and speak to a couple of agencies and they were like, this is a real piece of work, is it? So like, this is real. This is like, I mean, at the time it was like, yes.
Totally. Yeah. So how did you make that leap? And like, when did you decide, after how long were you like, oh, like I'm going to freelance full time? Or like, how did you kind of make that leap into what you're doing now?
Yeah, it was quite similar. It was like 9 years into my branding career. And I basically just felt like this is like now or never, you know.
Yeah.
I felt like I'm either going to stick to this. And I did. The thing is, like, it was hard because I was very, very comfortable. Like, I like the people I was with and, you know, the sort of company were really nice. And, you know, you always sort of heard about these agencies that weren't very nice and, you know, the people weren't very nice. But I always felt like my place was, people kind of got along and it was nice. So I was like, well, I don't really want to move out anywhere else. I don't want to take any risks.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't know what's out there.
You had
there.
A good setup. Yeah.
Yeah. And I felt like this is something I really had to do. So, but I did get, so I used Behance quite a lot. And I was posting personal work for a while on there, right at the beginning. Not too much, but like, I had this sort of series of musical birds.
Yeah.
And, I put that up on Behance, and from that I got a commission just for like a magazine cover for this like fashion magazine called Shop Magazine. That was my dream client when I was at uni, because like I looked at, you know, the people like Malika Favre or whatever were illustrating for that magazine. So I was like, like, this is amazing. Like, to me, this is like so good. But it was like, I thought maybe just like a one-off, but then they came back again and I ended up doing these on the weekends while I was working.
Gotcha.
During the week, yeah, for branding. So I built those up. And I got quite embarrassing towards the end because I had like a big stack of these magazines that I'd done.
You had them all on your
desk. But I used to bring them in as well because I was really like, you know, excited about it or whatever.
Of course, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But then it got a bit much.
You're like, all right, this is getting a little tall.
This is looking a bit embarrassing.
That's so funny.
Look at Mr. Success in the corner with a stack of magazines.
I mean, it was just, I don't know, like, yeah, it felt a bit wrong. I've got to make a decision.
Yeah. Like, I either take my magazine somewhere else or I stay here and I leave these at home.
Yeah, exactly. I did feel a bit like, I still didn't have much, then, like, that was it. I didn't have that much. So I did kind of take a leap of faith, I think, really. Yeah. And so I also wanted to move up to Manchester. So I was in London at the time. And I was also quite tired of London and just wanted to change.
Yeah.
You know, and so I wanted to move up north and like, yeah. So I ended up basically with the savings that I had for 9 years. I was like,
move up
north. Worst comes to worst, it's a year out and then you can go back into design.
Totally.
But you've been in this world ever since, I take it?
Yeah.
Looking back.
And it's a funny thing as well, because like also I'm sure you had the same thing. It's like when you first take that leap, you've got this sort of hole of no income coming in and it's quite scary. But like, you know, old colleagues that I used to work with started giving me briefs. So people were that I'd worked with as well were like, oh, we can hire Andrew now. So
yeah.
So it's like people that you know work with become your sort of clients as well. Mm-hmm. So that was really helpful.
Totally.
Go for it.
Oh no, I was just gonna say friends like play a huge role. If you go from one industry to the next and like kind of switch careers like we did. Like it's kind of crazy how your friends come out of the woodwork. Because over the years, they become like creative directors and or senior art directors, and they can make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You're not, this is why you be nice. This is why you got to be nice, people who are listening. Like if you think you can be a dick your whole career and to get what you want, I'm starting to get like old man veins. Yeah, if you're a dick when you move on, guess who will remember you? Nobody. So be nice. Yeah. Andrew and I were nice. Andrew seems super nice, by the way. Way nicer than me.
Oh, thank you.
Can you imagine being mean to Andrew? It's like, gosh damn it, Andrew, you son of a bitch. You didn't get this done on time. You'd feel so bad.
That's my technique, you see.
Yeah,
yeah. That's how your you technique avoid. Is play it nice. Like, don't so yell at me. I'm nice.
I get it. I try to do the same.
You guys are both nice.
Thank you. That's very kind of you.
It's a very nice room.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you're gonna go next, Andrea.
I was gonna say I kind of want to take the reins real quick because we kind of started touching on this question that I had for later, but I would love to touch on it now.
Sure, go for it.
With this like transition into freelance, I'm sure that there was, you know, a ton of anxiety and like a ton of just nerves. And we've kind of talked about this before in not, you know, in the shorthand, but I would love to hear a little bit more about like how starting your freelance journey, like how that was for you emotionally and just like anxiety wise, and then like how you figured out a way to overcome it and like what advice you would give to the other artists who have that anxiety as well of like taking that leap of faith that you were talking about.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Like, I mean, it was very exciting at first, and then there is a bit when it's like,
what have I done?
Like, yeah,
it's real.
The money's not coming in like it used to be or whatever. And at the beginning, it's like that. And it was like, I have actually taken a leap of faith. That was foolish, wasn't it? I was lucky in the way that, you know, I sort of met some people up here. So I had some like good people that I was spending time with and, you know, it did kind of affect me. I just start to feel kind of slightly off and very like anxious about just this sort of organization and the money side of it, you know.
Yeah,
just kind of
yeah,
having an accountant as well, like getting that and knowing that you're okay with the tax man and everything, like all this new stuff.
No one's coming
after
you.
That's the worst.
This is it. Yeah, it's
holy
like,
shit! I haven't paid taxes. That's the worst feeling.
It's just a, like it's something that's always taken care of for you. So like, you know, you're like, I don't have to worry about that. You know. But then when it's like really, it's all on you. It's like, oh my god. Like
yeah,
I really don't want to mess with the tax man.
You know? Yeah.
that's an area that really really scary, but thankfully I had an accountant. Before I left, someone put me in touch with an accountant who talked me through it, and he was very nice, and yeah, I still work with him today. Things like just organizing your life more and just making sure that you're not working super late as well. That was one of the things I think, having like a cutoff time, is something that I needed to do.
Yeah.
Once you're done, you know, just, settle down, do some reading or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Take your mind off of it.
Yeah,
I think it's hard.
Like you need to take your mind off it. Cause it is kind of,
it's crazy.
It is very,
Let's talk about that just for a second for, in case you don't know, this will be good for you, Andrea. Great. Like the, when your mind, right, Andrew, it's like when you're illustrating it, it's like, remember those toys where you go like this, where you're like, and yeah. like the wheels like gain exponential it, speed yeah, yeah. and you don't even know how fast it's going to go until you set it down and then it like goes off.
Yeah.
Like your wheels start doing this huge spin. And it takes a long time for them to slow down. And you'll lay down and you'll see the illustration in your mind. You'll think like, oh, especially, I bet, Andrew, a guy like you who's like so conceptual, you're like, oh, the opening of the thing could be the thing that communicates the thing.
Yeah.
And it's so like, it sucks. It's like taking, it's like natural Adderall. Like you just can't calm your mind down. It takes a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Reading is what I found surprisingly something that, you know, I didn't do enough of. I didn't do much of before, you know. But now it's like, it's amazing what it does. Just like focusing your mind on something, like just focused on the page. And then suddenly you just feel like, you can feel your mind just like relaxing and things, you know. And then you start feeling like really super sleepy. but yeah, it's crazy. Like you can work your mind up like crazy with.
Well, and I think something else that I love that you brought up is like having that network of people to help you with like the things that maybe you're not the most equipped to work on. And like that's something that we talk about obviously a lot at CNC and that we've been trying to do a lot more of like recently this quarter.
Oh, yeah.
Is, you know, just like employing those people that are actual experts in like the things that you lack. Because, you know, like there's two different ways that you can go about like assessing your strengths and weaknesses is like, okay, like I'm really good at these things and I'm not so good at these things. So let's work on the things that I'm not so good at. Or you can do the thing where you're like, okay, I'm really good at these things and not so good at these things. So I need to focus on the things I am good at and like find people that can help me with the things I'm not so good at. And I think that's something that like is super important for freelancers and that a lot of, I mean, it's definitely hard and it's something that, you know, it's scary to like relinquish control on something as big as like your finances or like your contract. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, your business as a freelancer will be so much better for it if you employ those people that actually like know what they're doing in those areas and like give them that control a little bit. Cause it's just crazy to try to do everything yourself, truly.
Yeah.
And it's good to have a team as well, like people you work with, which I think is something that I really liked about having an agency. Mm-hmm. Just having people that are kind of alongside you on a job.
Exactly.
It's sort of a comfort feeling, you know.
Yeah. Or like even within the agency, like we've recently hired, honestly, I don't really know 100% what his title is, but Caton, he's kind of like a consultant for the marketing team, but like even just having like the validation of somebody, like you said, going through the thing with you and like just being there to be like, okay, yes, like you, what you are thinking of is right. And like a good idea is so helpful. And like, just it makes it so much easier to get everything done than if, you know, when I was trying to do it myself.
It's funny. It's double-edged sword though, because 100% you want a team when you're or a client, right? Mm-hmm. But as much as that's true, when you're in the thick of it and you know you're a little bit behind, but you're a little bit behind because you're trying to think through something to make it great. and you get an email, it's like, Dave, where are we at on this? And you just want to respond and be like, it doesn't matter where I'm at. Just leave me alone and it will get done. You don't need to know my progress.
Yeah, I think we're all with that.
You know, it's because you're like at the end of your rope a little bit, or you're getting there. You like, it's a lot. Yeah. I don't know. I think
you put your own pressure on yourself, don't you?
Yeah. So yeah. Like, and you start to, especially if you're fighting with the piece, then that's the same as fighting with a person. And so your agitation levels are high, and you know, like whoever's checking in, whether it's Megan or Olivia or Drew back in the day. Drew back in the day would be like, where, what's, how's it going? Like, it's good. And like 2 days later, it's like, what's going on? You're like, Drew, listen, man, like it's fine. Okay. Like I'm doing the thing. And like 3 days later, where are we at? You're like, I am doing it. But yeah, it's like, it's their job and they're not agitated. It's not their fault. It's our fault. But I think I'm worse than others in that case. I really let things get out of control on my end. Nobody knows about it, but every single time it's like cleaning up an oil spill. I'm just like, oh no, it's fine.
Don't look.
Yeah. It's like, it's so good. It is so good, guys. There's like a bunch of dead birds. It's like, what? Like, please
do not email me. I don't want to tell you. I don't want to give you a glimpse into what's going on over here.
Just chopping up the body and putting it into plastic bags. Like, we're good.
Yeah. But you're so close, aren't you? That's the thing. Is like, you can take the space of 5 minutes. You can completely change like something that's looking horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To something that is amazing.
And it's true.
You're just like, next minute. I'll get it.
Yep. Yeah, let's actually talk about – that's a good segue because, like, your style, there is a lot – like, it is so specific, like, what you need to do. You know, for those that are just listening, if you're not familiar with Andrew's style, he's pretty masterful at taking objects, like things, not in the abstract, like real things – and making them into a symbol that represents like the brand or the message. Like one of them that's crazy is like this piece of pizza, hand is pulling it up from like the tray or whatever, and it's got cheese that's like strung to stringy cheese is hanging off the pizza in the shape of the Leaning Tower of Pizza. The Leaning Tower of Pizza. And it's crazy because like if it was done any different, it could be a disaster, right? But the way you did it, you see it and you're like, oh, that's string and cheese. Oh no, it's the Leaning Tower of Pizza. Like, I want to say pizza because it's from. So it's stuff like that, like very symbolic, like Ali Moss, which we were going to bring up later. But it's the style that like I'm envious of and because it's just so clever. So my question for you is like when you are hired to provide a visual solution, like in this clever way that you do, How do you, and it's like, by the way, folks, it's like the execution on it is like impeccable too. So you want to slap him twice. Cause you're just like, it's so, like, it's so smart and it's so good. It's like, whoosh, whoosh.
Thank you.
It's funny. Like just too kind, Dave, that you want to slap me.
Cause my work is too good.
I think it's compliment.
Yeah, no, it is a compliment. Yes. The more people want to beat your ass as a, you know what? I worked
That's a Manchester with, you know, thing, see.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. Real side note, because I just said something that younger folks will be like, what the hell? I was working with the, you know, younger people like 5 years ago, and I was like, dude, I will beat your ass. And he's like, you'll do what? And I was like, beat your ass. And he's like, I don't know what that means, man. Like, that sounds...
What?
You're going to get in trouble.
Okay, so you guys have heard that term.
I've definitely heard that.
Okay, good. They thought I was hitting on
you were just working with some weirdos.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Chase
Dutre, you're a weirdo, and we hate you. Okay, so.
Sorry, Chase.
Sorry. My long question is, with this rad style of yours, I'm super curious how you go about this, because to me, if I were you, I would sit there and think for a long time and write ideas down, like, oh, I could do it this way. Mm. Sketching seems insane, because you can't just nail it, but what do you do? Or is it a combination of both? Do you write? Do you draw? Do you sketch until you find a solution? What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, it does, like, depends on, obviously it depends on the brief. But, like, yeah, I see what you mean. Like, just, I'll take, it is hard to explain. I do a lot of sketches. So I do a lot of sketches at the beginning. Okay. And they're just like scribbles.
Yeah,
and like, and it's basically, I will fill up a book with like, oh, you know, a bit of an exaggeration, but I'll fill up a lot.
Just that makes
the
sense.
the same image, just a slight tweak or something like that. And I'll just there is a lot of trial and error sometimes. Other times, it, like the idea will just pop into my head, and I love that. That's great. That doesn't happen enough. But like, yeah, say like, I mean, the pizza and pizza thing that you just mentioned, that just came to me on holiday. But that was a personal project. So like, I was like, you know, oh, I've got something to do when I get home. But like, yeah, no, I will like think about, obviously the brief is really like, if the brief is really simple, and really well defined, then it's like, it's brilliant. That's because it is. I bring out the briefs, like, just kind of, you know, it's like, it's just, if it's a really straightforward brief, then obviously it makes the idea easier. But like,
To hit on like five different points, it's tough to nail that one image that satisfies the five points.
Mm-hmm. But I quite enjoy that as well sometimes.
Really? You're a madman. Yeah. Keep going.
I do. it's just sometimes it's like a challenge as well, like, because if something's overdone a lot of the time, like if I'm working on something, I'd be like, ah, I bet that's been done before, isn't it? Like, you know, because there's a lot of ideas that you have to get through where you're like,
that's true. That's
obviously done before.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, like, I have to like try and look it up to see if it exists before I know that I can do it. It is basically, it's all about symbols, and I'm trying to, I have the added element of going like isometric as well. So trying to do conceptual images with that added dimension is harder. So it's like,
it's harder. Oh, because you can only deal with one angle.
Face on.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm working with an idea that's face on, it's easier. But like, it depends on the brief, obviously. But yeah.
So why do you go isometric if it causes trouble with finding the right image or symbol?
Because I really like grew into it like more organically, and I thought that was, you know, something I should do. I thought it was something maybe I hadn't seen enough of, like, out there, and I just wanted to do something a bit different.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, you're just kind of like, you wanted to do it, so you did it.
Yeah. I wanted to sort of, I don't know, kind of pull my work apart, I guess, because there's a lot of conceptual illustrators out there as well. So it's like,
Who's the guy who, I bet you this dude is one of your rivals.
I don't have rivals.
This dude's pretty good.
Everyone's a friend.
That's how we avoid conflict.
I forgot his name.
Stay nice.
If I remember his name, it was on the tip of my mind and then it went away. So I was going to ask a follow-up. Good job, Dave. You forgot both your questions. You forgot the guy's name and your question.
I'm kind of glad that you didn't ask about other artists, to be honest, because I'm terrible at remembering who they are as well.
It's something that's like Danthan. It's like, damn it, it was in my head. Like that.
One day. So,
it's like Anthony Danthan or something like that. He's probably listening. And he's saying his name really loud to himself right now. Yeah. My name.
I have to Google corrects. We'll sort that out, won't it?
Yeah. The listeners are definitely screaming at us.
Anthony Danthan, and then Google will work it out.
Something like that. Yeah, seriously. No, that's cool. I really wish I could remember my follow-up, because I was like, I wanted to ask it, but I'll just let it go, and then if it pops in my head, I'll interrupt both you guys and just shout it.
No worries.
Perfect. That's all I've ever wanted.
Oh, well, since you crossed it, since Andrea does this thing, and it's totally fine.
Doesn't sound like it's totally fine.
No. Like, she crossed out her question. Oh, because they're similar. Being transparent here on the podcast. So I put in my questions after Andrea always, because she is, she's studious. She's on top of things. I am not.
Thank you, Dave.
So it's great. If my questions ever come before yours, it would be a miracle. And
that would be crazy.
Yeah, it would be. Like, it would be crazy, right? It would be the first time it's
you
ever happened.
You should do it one day just to mess with me.
Maybe I will. Now that you're challenging me, but we both asked the same question.
Yeah.
That's my bad for doing that.
No, it's okay.
Sucks being wrong all the time. This is why it's not fun to have a female co-host, because it's been my experience that in dealing with females in my life, I've only had sisters. I've had a lot of girls that are friends. And then my wife, my track record is like, 0 and 7,000
when it
comes
to
being right. Yeah, why is that, by the way? What the hell's wrong with you guys?
I don't know. We just, it's tough having the burden of always being right and perfect, but I carry it well, I think.
You should listen to Bill Burr's rant on when women are wrong. It is incredible. Anyway.
It's early Bill Burr, isn't it?
Yeah, it's early. It's early. It is so good that I can't repeat any of it, though. Anyway, so you have these really rad, I feel like kind of, they might not be influences, but like these influences in your, that are foundational to your work. But knowing you, you're kind of an original. You might just be like, well, yeah, maybe they're similar, like they do similar stuff, but I'm honestly just doing what I feel like I want to do. But I do see like Ali Moss in your work, because he brought like, I mean, that's a fellow UK guy right there, right? You know who Ali Moss is. This is beautiful. You don't? I'm glad you don't. This is wonderful. Like he
trying to think, like, yeah, he's UK as well. That's...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's your boy. Like this is somebody who if you hit him up and showed him your work, he'd be like, oh, whoa. But he was like an early 2000. No, he was like, he came around in like 2011. Hmm. And he was doing posters for like the
That's around my time.
Was it?
That is, yeah, that is around my time, though, yeah.
Yeah.
I would have been, developing.
Yeah, but I mean, he wasn't like world famous at that point, though. So it would be normal if you missed him. But he did these three Star Wars posters for Mondo, which is for the like theater in Austin. This company called Mondo's like, hey, you guys like show movies that. Like classics that already exist. What if we did posters for you? And the guy at Mondo built a whole freaking like movie poster empire. And now those are like canonized as like official movie posters for those films. So if you did a Star Wars poster for Mondo, it's officially a Star Wars poster for that IP. Mm. And so Ali Moss did these three Star Wars posters, and it was like a silhouette of like C-3PO. And then like the two moons from where Luke is from, make the eyes.
Oh, I might know. Oh, yeah. Wait seconds. I might have come across that. Yeah.
Oh, they're like everywhere. And like the Empire Strikes Back is Boba Fett. And then for his visor is the Cloud City. And he single-handedly started with a concept that became a style. Now there's a style of movie poster where you do a silhouette and then you put stuff inside of it. And it's no longer considered a ripoff of Ali Moss. It's considered style of movie poster, which is wild. Right. That's how influential this guy was. And
that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. He's bananas. He got so popular and his posters started selling for so much. He just bounced, started making video games.
Oh really?
Yeah. But so you should check him out. I think you would find a lot of, like, it's like finding out that there's, like, Back to the Future is a movie. Oh, I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Go check out Ali Moss.
I think I am. I must be familiar, like, with him. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
It's just, yeah, there's so many artists. I mean, it must have been on, like, the Behance days, and, you know, it was just kind of floating around.
but I'm glad he's not like cited as a primary influence, because it's that, you know, that truly means you're just like doing your own thing. The other thing I saw in your posters was like old, you know, like the first half of the 20th century kind of style, like travel posters. But again, I kind of just feel like you're doing what your thing. And so maybe I should just ask, like, who are your influences? Like, how did you arrive here?
Yeah. Well, I always, I'm really terrible, like I said, with other artist names, and I'm very much too. Like, yeah, I mean, that's quite a lot. But like, I mean, it's for me, it's like very much. I'm a designer's background, so I always kind of focus on the sort of answering the brief and the idea. So I'm not really like my style sort of evolved through just kind of working through what's necessary for each brief.
Oh, that's cool.
So, like, I mean, when I started, I was like really into sort of graffiti artists, and I was learning Illustrator at the time, but I was also into like the graffiti artists, just like replicating what they did digitally, like with loads of brushes and stuff and lots of textures and everything. But like the idea was still like the main thing that I was trying to do. I was focused on the idea, and that was just a method to kind of to illustrate it with. But then I found that like I actually did have a lot of that sort of influence with textures and stuff like that. My work with textures basically at the time that I got that job in London. But it slowly, like as I started to work with brands and that, and also like textures, my files were like, you know, ridiculously huge, and I couldn't move anything. Everything's just like jutting, or you know, it was so painful to work with. I actually just dropped all the textures. I was like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. But I also had so one of the first clients was Shop Magazine, who are a jewelry and fashion mag. So you know, it started to get more shiny. I started to use lots of shines, and yeah, it's very sort of organic, really. I needed to put shine in for the brief. It needs to be shiny, and I started to use gold for all the, you know, jewelry and everything. And I liked it, though. I liked that sort of matte versus shiny. I just like the texture of it, and I thought, well, that could be a texture that, you know, that just that, just using that kind of that contrast between matte and shiny, just I built it through there, basically, for a journey quite organically. I've just kind of focused on the idea and build the world around it, basically.
Yeah, that's cool that you went from texture to shiny. You like basically went from, sounds like kind of like an aged thing, or like a texture thing, to like brand new.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I was doing like band flyers as well at the time, so that's I was really into that, just kind of layering all these different textures. And
I remember that time, it's like when there was like it came back. It's funny because it was like that was the early days, like Photoshop 7 and stuff. When the icon was still like an eye looking through a lens, and Illustrator was Venus, red hair.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And then that went away because I think like our generation of designers was like, well, if it hasn't been printed and it hasn't been on a wall or a T-shirt for 30 years, then why the hell is it all beat up? Yeah. So we started going clean, and then textures have come back in the past 3 or 4 years with a vengeance.
Yeah,
I'm still of the mind that like it hasn't been printed, it hasn't been beat up, so I'm not texturing it.
It feels more authentic, I guess, doesn't it?
Get authentic, new designers. Quit texturing stuff to cover your shitty design and just make it good from the get-go.
I love that stuff with all the grain and everything. It looks very,
I do
very
too.
Cool.
I'm just kidding.
Caveats.
Offends more people.
Hey, there's some truth to what I'm saying, but I'm with Andrew. I like it for the most part.
Totally.
I'm going to offend people if you say I'm being offensive, but if you're like, no, I stand by him.
I'm joking. I stand by every rogue comment. Yeah. I stand by every rogue comment.
No, you got to say stand by every rogue comment as if I said it myself.
Yeah, you're so right. Okay. Got it. Perfect. That's print that. Awesome. Well, I don't want to keep y'all for too long. I know we've been chatting for a second, but I just want to wrap up by asking you, Andrew, where the people can find more of you and your work.
So it's AJ_Nye AJ_NYE on Instagram. And I have a website, www.ajnye.co.uk.
Beautiful. And, so simple. Love it.
Yeah. And a Behance Andrew Nye. I think it's just Andrew Nye.
Yeah, to check gorgeous. That one.
Well, you were following me. I just followed you back.
Love
hey.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Andrew, for being here. It was lovely, you know, chatting about everything.
Yeah, that's really fun, guys. Awesome. Yeah, I hope I have some insights that are useful to some people, maybe.
That was fun, man.
Yeah, it's great fun. Yeah, that's fun.
Thanks for tuning in to the Closer and Closer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review to receive the latest episodes. You don't want to miss some of the incredible conversations that we have coming up. They'll be full of powerful insight to help you reach your full creative potential. To find out more about us, visit www.closerandcloser.co.